Again, I'd like to welcome all of you here this morning. And I do want to mention about these Easter lilies that are around us. They're dedicated to family members, and they're mighty pretty on this Easter Sunday morning. Appreciate them and appreciate the families that brought them this morning. I want to ask if you would, if you'll bear with me just a few minutes this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Kenneth Windsor to come up here just a minute. Brother Bobby, can you come up here just a minute, if you would? You come up here. Where's Brother Michael Brand at? Where's he at? Brother Michael Brand, you come up here just a minute, if you would. And then Brother Andy Sims, you come up here just a second, if you would. Brother Andy. Y'all come right over here. Okay. All right. There's four Gospels in the Bible, and all four of them give an account of the resurrection. And I chose four preachers this morning to read my text for me, if they would. And I want them to read the resurrection story out of all four Gospels. And as we read it, it's not going to be that long, lengthy, but some of them give just a little bit of turning, a little flavor, difference in the reading of it. But I want to get you all four perspectives on what they remembered about the resurrection, how they saw it, and how they wrote it down. These were men born by the Holy Spirit to write these things down. And so we want to begin reading. If you have your Bible with you, I'm not going to ask you to stand this morning because it's going to be a little bit lengthy reading, but I've got it marked in my Bible. I want you to open up your Bible and let's look at these four accounts of the resurrection. You'll find the first one is found in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. Brother Windsor, if you would, I've got it marked in my text where to start and where to finish. And if you would, read that first text for us.
Matthew 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead.
All right, come on, preacher. Brother Michael, Mark chapter number 16.
And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Yeah. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Yeah. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Amen. And entering into the sepulchre, Amen. They saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you.
Yeah, there you go.
Amen.
Now let's see what Luke said. Where, Brother Andy?
Luke chapter 24, verse number 1. Chapter 24, verse number 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments.
Yeah.
And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest.
Now John gives just a little bit different flavor to his writing. And I wanted you to begin reading verse number 11 and read down through verse number 18.
Chapter 20. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these
words. Glory! Glory! Glory!
Yeah!
Glory.
Yeah.
Amen.
Woo! Yeah. Had seen the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. Thank you, men. Thank you, Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? He said, But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, this morning, as humble as we know how. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for these testimonies that was given to us, Lord, of the resurrection. Lord, we thank you, Father, for these precious preachers that read that this morning. And Father, I pray that you'd burn in our heart your message, Lord, of the resurrected Lord. Father, we pray now that you'd go with us and anoint us afresh with fresh oil and give us power to preach one more time. We ask you now, Lord, to go with us in the service and what you do for us. We'll be careful to thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. And amen. I want to talk to us this morning, if God will help me, for just a few minutes on the preaching of the resurrection. I want to talk to us on that thought for just a few minutes. I want to thank these preacher brethren for coming and reading the text for us this morning. And as we began to read the four gospel accounts of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and you noted in that text that there were several differences depending upon who was writing them. It doesn't make one of them wrong or the other wrong, or one right and the other wrong. It doesn't mean that. It means where they focused by the Holy Spirit on their perspective of the resurrection of the Lord. But you note in the book of John, Jesus himself now testifies of himself, of his own resurrection. I don't know how much plainer that can get this morning. Amen. Somebody said, but I just can't believe in a resurrection. The Sadducees couldn't believe in a resurrection. They could not understand how that a man could die and then come back alive. But I'm going to tell you this morning, with man, how these things are impossible. If you put your trust in man, the grave will be as far as you'll be able to see. But if you'll put your faith in the one that conquered the grave, you can see beyond the grave. Amen. The Apostle Paul said in this book, he said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. How we would have no message this morning had it not been for the raising of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could fold up the text and go home because it would all be in vain. But I'm here to stand to proclaim to you that the message still stands today. And we have hope in the Lord Jesus because He lives. And we have witnesses according to the Word of God. And I have no reason not to believe, and because this word is true. From Genesis to Revelation, you'll find no fault in the facts of the Word of God. And if one word in the Bible was false, then the whole Bible would be false. And but every word is truth. The Bible said, let every man be a liar, and God be the truth. And so we know that His Word is the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this morning we find the facts of the resurrection given to us by the four gospel accounts. And the Apostle Paul, the Bible tells us, one born out of due season, out on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus spoke to him, and he saw him, the Bible said, a light shone around him, brighter than the noonday sun. And then out of that light he heard a voice, and he said, Lord. And I'm going to tell you, he saw the risen Savior. And the Bible tells us after his resurrection, there was over 500 saw him raised from the dead. And the Bible tells us that the apostles saw him, Peter and all the apostles saw him alive. Amen. And he's alive today. And there are people that will not believe it. The Bible tells us in Jesus' day, according to the Gospels, that there were some there that were Jews that did not believe in the resurrection, and there were those that were fed alive. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew that there were some there that came to come to Pilate, and they began to tell them, and they said, go, and he said, here's some money, and don't let this get out, my friend. And they told them to tell a lie, that the body had been stolen. But I'm here to proclaim to you that the message of Christ is true. And I'm glad that I don't have to prove it this morning, but it stands as read. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall endure forever. And so we know the Word of God is true. And the preaching of the resurrection tells us in the book of Corinthians, Peter said that my preaching has a purpose. Amen. And there is a purpose for the preaching of the resurrection. The Bible said, if Christ be not risen, then I preach in vain, and your faith is also vain. He said, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He hath raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. And he said, for if the dead raise not, then is not Christ risen. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. And there is a purpose for the preaching of the resurrection. And the Bible tells us that it is the Word of God and the proclamation of the risen Savior, that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. And He's alive forevermore. And that's the message to a dark world this morning, to a world in sin, is the fact that the Savior is alive. Jesus said, I am He, and which is alive and was dead and is alive forevermore. And we're not preaching a dead God, but we're preaching a risen, living Savior this morning who's alive forevermore. Amen. The preaching of the resurrection. Not only does the preaching have a purpose, But the Bible tells us that our faith has forgiveness. The Bible said your faith is vain and you're yet in your sins. I got good news for the sinner this morning. Amen. That if you'll put your faith in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, you can have the justification of the forgiveness of sin. I'm glad this morning that when I was forgiven of my sin, a peace came in. Amen. Rest from a weary soul. You're here this morning struggling in the depths of your sin, and you don't know what to do about it. It's wrecked and ruined you. It's tore your home up. It's ruined your life. But I'm here to tell you the good news of the gospel message, that Jesus Christ is alive this morning, and he's been raised from the dead, and you, if you'll put your faith in him, your sins will be forever forgiven in him. Amen. I tell you, we've got the right message right on the right time this morning. Amen, because it is the forgiveness of sin. Had he stopped at the cross, we would have all been lost. Would have been headed to death and to hell. But I'm glad we have the assurance, and because we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he said, how can they hear except there be a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? He's sent by God to proclaim the message of Christ Jesus, that there is forgiveness of sin. And if you'll put faith in Christ, amen, and in his resurrection, you can have forgiveness of sins this morning and your burden rolled away. Hallelujah. I'm glad this morning that we can stand right in the sight of God. Amen. This morning, but not only stops there, but our death has a deliverance when we have faith in Christ. He said, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. I'm glad this morning that in the Lord Jesus Christ, that our death has a deliverance. We don't have to stay in that grave. Amen. We'll follow. One of these days you'll die. You'll quit breathing. Your heart will stop beating. Your blood will quit circulating in your body. And the coroner will come and he'll pronounce you dead. They'll try to find a pulse. They'll look in your eyes and they'll see that you have abandoned this house, and you'll be gone and you'll be dead. And they'll say, he has died. And they, far as I know, they'll look at their watch and they'll say, put down 11:45, the deceased time of his death. Am I right? And the coroner will pronounce you dead. But did you know this morning, long before the coroner pronounces you dead, you'll be dead. Amen. And because you have no control over the dying day, nor do you have power over death. But I've got a good message for you. Hallelujah. Jesus said that I've got the keys of both hell and death. And you know what those keys represent? They represent a couple of things. One is the authority. Amen. That he's the one that holds death and hell in his hands. They had to give it over to him when he conquered death and hell in the tomb. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, it also means that he's the owner of the house. That's what the key. Hey man, when I bought my house and we sat down and signed the papers, they gave me the keys to the house. Did they give you the keys to my house? You know why? Because you didn't own it. Hey man, and they didn't give you the keys to my house because you didn't own it. But they gave me the keys signifying that I own the house. Hallelujah. Jesus stepped. Jesus looked a hell right in the face and said, give me the keys. And he looked at him and said, looked at death and said, give me those keys. He said, you y'all get out of my house. Hallelujah. He was victory. He was victor over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. When he came out of that grave, the grave could not hold him. Death couldn't keep him, and hell didn't want him. Amen. When you look at it, death has a deliverance. We saw it in Christ our Lord, and it's also for us today. Amen. But then you'll find in the text that the preaching of the resurrection also secures our service, and our service is meaningful. Amen. I don't serve the Lord in vain. Amen. I don't serve Him in vain, because He's coming back one day. The Bible said, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father. He said, when He shall put down all rule and all authority and all power, for He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things put under His feet, He's under Him, He said, it's manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they that baptize for the dead, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. And He says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts and at Ephesus with, He said, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. He said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt a good manners. He said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I tell you this morning, our service is not in vain. It has a meaning to it. It's significant. Everything that we ever done for God and every will do for God stands. Amen. It has its purpose. Every message preached, every witness given, every song sung, every testimony is given for God's glory. And it's not in vain that it might exalt Him. Hallelujah this morning. It's not in vain this morning. The preaching of the resurrection, the message, the proclamation, the pronouncement, He's alive forevermore. Amen. One of these days, He's coming back for all them who believe. Do you believe this morning? Preacher, I just can't believe there's life after death. I tell you what you'll do. You'll find out, and it'll be too late. It'll be too late. As Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John testified of what they saw, and then Paul testifies of what he knows. And this morning, as the preachers read to you in fervor and passion the resurrection account, and as we stand before you preaching the resurrection, it's not in vain. Amen. Amen. Our preaching is not in vain. It has its purpose, that if you'll believe, you can be saved. Amen. It has its faith, His forgiveness, if we'll have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It has its deliverance. Amen. From the dead. Amen. And it has its meaning in our service for the Lord. When I think about labor, you know how many times that I would have loved to quit? Bunches of times. Some of you have already quit. But you know what? There's something on the inside of me that just about the time I've said I've had enough and I'm going to quit. Then there's something starts stirring up on the inside of me, and it puts a fire down in there again, and here I'm again. And this goes plumb against my nature, but it's all His nature. Amen. This morning, my service is not in vain. Amen. I think about, poor Jeremiah. All that preacher, from his very young boy, preaching the gospel, and preached to Judah, and he preached to Israel, and he never had a convert. The weeping prophet wept his way through every message. I walked through every city, touched every life, and never had a convert. And he even confessed when they threw him in prison for the preaching of the word of God, that he confessed and said, I will not preach it ever again. And he said, when I tried to stop, he said, it was like fire shut up in my bones. Amen. And when they got him out of prison, here he hit the road again, preaching again, I'm telling you. And we're still preaching Jeremiah today.
this place. When I was a little boy, I seen the world as a vast place. But as I get older, it's narrowing in. Do you see it that way? I would have never thought that you could mash a button on a keyboard and I can talk to my aunts and uncles over in Germany like that. Isn't that amazing? The news media, just as soon as there's something happens across the globe somewhere, we instantly get the news. Bad or good, we get the news just like that. It's narrowing in. The whole thing's coming in. It's not as big. And the more I survey the world, the more I look at the world, the less I want to stay here. The less I want to stay here. Amen. You feel that way? Preacher, the older I get. And somebody said, would you love to go back to be a little child again and go through all this again? No, ma'am. No, sir. No, not even for one second would I want to go back. I'd like it just like it is. I'm going somewhere. Amen. You're headed somewhere this morning. Give God a wave of glory. You're headed somewhere this morning. We're going to leave out of this place. Every time we ever did anything for the Lord, it's not in vain. He's got his eye on us today. And our service for the Lord's not in vain. It'll have its purpose in your life. And it'll have its purpose in the kingdom of heaven. All the proclamation of the resurrection, the church needs to stand up on the mountain and cry out, He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Go tell them. Go tell them that I'm alive. That's what this is all about anyhow, isn't it? Amen. That we tell them. Every one of those accounts. Every one. All four of those accounts. When it come to the end, remember what he said? They said, go and tell them. Go and tell them. Jesus said in the last chapter of the book of Matthew, he said, go and tell. Go and tell. He's telling us this morning, tell them. If we really believe it this morning, we'll go and tell. I'd like for us to stand, get a song.